Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, I'm here to talk some reality TV with you on robezawebsite.com. This week, I'm here to talk some Survivor with you because the Big Brother 17 finale just wrapped up and the premiere of Survivor just aired. So it's a very exciting time in the reality TV world and for everybody on Rob as a planet. So I figured let's talk some Survivor. There's a lot of interesting things we can talk about. And when I was thinking about having a guest this week, I thought, okay, I want to have somebody who I know is great at podcasting so that this first episode of me talking about a Survivor episode is going to be great. And one of the first names that I thought of was the great Hayley Strong. She's the host of the Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise podcast, co-hosted with Amy. Amy could not be here today, so I've just got Hayley with me. So I'm very excited to have her here. And if you haven't already checked out her stuff, definitely make sure you do so. So Hayley, how the hell are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. This is really exciting. The Bachelor season has ended. I've had a couple weeks off to just kind of relax, and now I'm just going full tilt into the reality TV life again.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. And it's always a bummer when there's no, and I'm a huge fan of The Bachelor and Bachelorette and all that stuff. So it's unfortunate that there isn't really anything going on for the fall for that franchise. But it's good. We got some Survivor going on. We got some Big Brother going on. Some scripted TV shows are coming back. So it's a good time to be a TV watcher. So I'm very excited to see what's going on. And I'm very excited to check out this Survivor season. As always, we're going to be taking your questions live. So if you want to tweet us your questions or leave a comment in the YouTube video below, you can do so by tweeting us using the hashtag RHAP. You can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar, and you can tweet Hayley. She's at HStrong_. Correct, Hayley?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, awesome. So definitely tweet us. Let us know if you got any questions live. And because right now, I don't think we have too many. So if you want to get one in, that would be awesome because you'll probably get it read on the show. And that's great. And who doesn't like that? So, yeah, so we're going to get into some Survivor here, talk about all that kind of stuff. And before we get into it, I just want to apologize. The last couple episodes of the podcast, the audio wasn't so great because I had a few, I had my computer crap out on me. And for the last episode I did via Skype and the one before that, there were some issues with certain guests that I have not having headphones. So this time around, right now, things are looking good. Things are looking up, Hayley. So I think it's going to be a good one in terms of the audio. And regardless, the content, I'm sure, will be excellent because I've got you on the show. So very, very excited to get into this Survivor discussion. Okay, so I think our lead story here, if we're going to get into some Survivor here, Hayley, is Vidas Bujkauskas. We're not going to go. Vidas is not going to go do some yoga. It's over. It's done. Just like
he's
that.
He's going to do yoga in Ponderosa.
He's going to do yoga in Ponderosa. It's over for Vidas. Are you stunned? Because I was totally shocked when I saw Vidas get his torch snuffed that first episode.
I was as well. I wasn't able to watch this episode of Survivor Live. I was at a Blue Jays game. They won, so it's okay. So I got my brother to text me who got voted out because I needed to know. I couldn't wait until the next day to find out. And when he said Vidas, I was like, there is no way. Like, Vidas, how could he be gone first? He's one of the strongest guys in his tribe. And at this stage in the game, that's kind of what you need. But I guess in these All-Star seasons, they don't care about that. They're getting down to it.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. And I think that if this was a regular season of strangers that don't know each other, I think Abby Maria probably would have been the easy first boot in this scenario. But because Vidas is such he's so sly and he's so smart, and everybody saw that on his season of Blood versus Water and how he's manipulating the women and Laura Boneham and all that kind of stuff. I think that he was just way too threatening. And I think that is what really did him in. Do you think that now Vidas's legacy is kind of tarnished a little bit here, Hayley? Do you think that now people aren't going to remember Vidas as this great player? Because before the season, a lot of people, Josh Wigler is one, included, is a huge fan of Vidas, and he was talking about how great he is and how awesome he is. And now we see him go out first on one of these seasons. Do you think this is really something that's going to hurt him?
I really don't. In most cases, I think it does. Like in the Sugar case, I mean, she wasn't highly regarded anyway, so that part doesn't matter. But Vidas, he was taken out because he was so good. This was almost like good for his impression.
And yeah,
he was
that's
so
actually,
good
that's
in
a good
last
point.
Season that they're like, no, we got to get him gone. He is too good. And if we don't take him out now, we don't know what he's going to do. We don't know what he's capable of because we only saw half of it in Blood versus Water.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting point that you brought that up. And I think that now I think in hindsight, if we look at this, when Rob and Josh are doing the evolution of strategy in, I don't know, 5 years from now about these past 10 seasons, and they're talking about Vitas, I think he's going to be looked at in a higher regard in a sense than by going out first than he would have if maybe he would have gone in the middle of the pack, because he didn't really have a chance to screw up or do anything, right? I mean, the edit made it seem like, yeah, okay, he's you know, in his underwear doing all this yoga stuff, but that's not really why he went home, right? I mean, would that have really annoyed you because the girls clearly were really annoyed? Would you have been...
No, that would not have annoyed me. Venus is a babe. I'm sorry. I would love if he was doing some casual yoga near me.
So funny. So good. I mean, he's a good looking dude. What's wrong with him doing yoga?
In Venus's case, his reputation preceded him, and there is just nothing he could have done about it.
Yeah.
And I think... this could have easily been Spencer. This could have easily been Steven if it was the other tribe. You know what I mean? They just have these reputations coming into the game, and there's just nothing they could do.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's the problem with these All-Star seasons is the game is completely different when the people know each other beforehand. It's not the same. And unfortunately for Vitas, he just ended up in a rough spot. Now, another person that I really wanted to talk to you about as well, Haley, somebody who came off really strong in the episode, was your girl, Kelly Wentworth. My girl as well. I love Kelly Wentworth. She's been a guest on your podcast. Wasn't that exciting to see Kelly do well? I mean, that was very... Like, was there anything that she could have done better that first episode? Literally every single thing went Kelly's way.
Yeah, everything fell her way. And it was really exciting. And I liked... Kelly was my winner pick in her first season, and it didn't work out there. And she was my winner pick again this season, because this season is set up for her. She's the perfect candidate to take it all the way to the end. And in this episode, she just proved why, because she's not afraid to just kind of go for it. But she's not so brash and bold that she's putting it all out there. I think Kelly has the tools and now immunity idol to really carry her through the game. And I think people like her. And even if the other side gets, you know, more numbers, it falls their way. I still don't think she's their number one target. I think
And I think the beauty of what Kelly's doing right now is that she's surrounded by Spencer and Shireen and that little super fan trio. The team RHAP is come together, and it seems like they're working together as a unit, which is great. And Jeff Varner was with them for that vote. Who knows what's going to happen next week? But yeah, I think that she's not. No one's going to really think of, if you're thinking, wow, I need to get a huge threat out of this game, no one's going to be thinking of Kelly, which is a huge mistake, because a big thing that I think people overlook sometimes with these reality TV shows is, just because somebody finishes in a lower place doesn't necessarily mean that they're a quote unquote weak player or weaker than 100%. Some of these other people who are there. Right. And I think that Kelly, she finished 14th on San Juan del Sur. But if you really look at her equity in any random season, I think it would be way up there, especially by herself. And that's a huge thing, too. If Kelly wasn't with her, if she wasn't with Dale, and I love Dale, FarmGuy69 on Twitter, follow him. But it would have been a completely different story last time. No,
I think she just, like, her as a person, as an entity, Kelly Wentworth, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a fangirl. She's the total survivor package. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's athletic. You know, and she has this social thing that people just like her. People like her automatically. She just has that kind of charm without being having the charm that Vitas has, which can be off-putting. She just has everything you need to play Survivor. It's like Kim.
Yeah, honestly, really, it is kind of a little bit like Kim Spradlin, because with Kelly, she's not, you can't just look, you can't put your finger on one thing of Kelly where you say, wow, Kelly is like so amazing at this one thing. No, Kelly is just really good at a lot of things. She's not overly strategic. She's not overly aggressive. She's not overly nice. She's not, I mean, she's gorgeous. So I guess there's that, but you know, she's not none of those things that, so she doesn't really necessarily stand out. Whereas Vetus, he's a guy who is very strategic. He's very manipulative. And it's very clear.
I think hear it in his voice that yes. Every single word is extremely calculated. And that can be off-putting, especially, you know, you could see that with Shireen. You saw that with, you know, Spencer. You saw it with PG. You could tell that moment where Vetus was telling PG, like, oh, I've known an Asian girl with freckles before. PG was like, cool.
Yeah, that was I was like, Vetus, I don't know, man, but I love Vetus
to death. Right there.
But no, man, I feel bad for Vetus, but I understand why that happened. And yeah, and that's the thing.
That's just the way it shakes out sometimes, right?
That's the way it shakes out. And with Kelly, too, I think that going back to her not being the greatest, there's one thing where she's overtly amazing at. I think that's great for an all-star season because it's rare. Mm-hmm. Usually the people get put on these all-star seasons are considered a great strategist, or for Abby Maria's instance, overly, you know, confrontational, or, you know, Joe, overly physical. Like, they're so good at all these things, whereas Kelly, her getting in there, she kind of like slides in unnoticed and people aren't really going to worry about her too much. If there were Vegas odds, and you're not spoiled, Haley, I'm not spoiled, so we don't know what's going to happen.
I don't even understand Vegas odds.
Okay, you don't understand Vegas odds, but okay, so let me put it another way. Who do you think is right now? Do you think Kelly Wentworth is the favorite to win this season just based on that first episode?
It's hard to say because it's like what we see as a good player might not be seen as a good player in other people's minds. Like, some people might be like, oh, she's not quite as good as a strategist as Spencer. She's not as big of a super fan as Shireen, but she's not an athlete like Terry. But I mean, like we said, those things all really work for her. And it's kind of the same case with Monica. We just haven't seen it. She's got that package too. And it's just, those are the people who do well in these seasons. And that's what we've seen historically. We've seen it with Amber. We've seen it with Parvati. And Sandra's doesn't quite have the total package, but she's got that thing. And I think Kelly has it, and she's my odds on favorite, but I'm extremely biased. So
no, but you know what? I think that's a great person to have as your favorite and going into this thing. And now especially after seeing this episode, if you believed in Kelly Wentworth, then you're vindicated because totally saw in that one episode that Kelly has the chops to definitely win this thing. Now, you brought up another interesting person, Monica Padilla, and she does definitely has some of these qualities as well. She was my winner pick going into this season. What do you think about Monica not getting a ton of airtime, Haley? Do you think that kind of plays into something? Because I mean, I'm not 100% always behind it, but I have faith in the winner's edit sort of deal. And we only got one confessional from Monica on Wednesday. So do you think that maybe that is indicative as to how Monica is going to do this season? Or am I reading into this a little bit too much?
I think you might be reading into it a little bit much. I totally understand where you're coming from, especially the last few seasons. They've been really heavy on the winner's edit. We can see it coming from a mile away. But I think with this season, there's so many big personalities, and we have the benefit of already knowing everyone that we don't have to have those couple minutes to be introduced. So the fact that Monica was kind of, you know, wasn't a big character in this episode, I don't think that means that she won't be in the next few, because there's a couple people I don't think we really saw a whole lot from, but I don't think that means anything for the outcome of the game. It's just some people had bigger episodes, you know, the Abbeys, the Kellys, the Vetuses, other people didn't, you know, so it's just how it's going to shake out for the season, and that's just how All-Star seasons are. They're just a different breed than, you know, your regular season.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I think I guess we could go back sort of. And I mean, she kind of, if we go way back, Survivor All-Stars, I mean, Amber Burkitch didn't have that huge of an impact on her first episode. I mean, there was the talk with her and Boston Rob, but beyond that, there wasn't that much going on. So I can see what you're saying there. somebody that I also was really intrigued by going into this season, and now, especially after seeing the first episode, was Jeff Varner. Now, Jeff was a very, he played a big role in this episode. And I don't know if you read Josh Wigler's article on the tribal council, that first tribal council, because he was there and he witnessed it.
I read half of it, and then my iPad like shut it down. So then I was too lazy to go back and read it. So I'm sorry, Wigler. I read like everything else preseason.
Yeah, definitely check the. I think Wiggler will forgive you. But if you haven't checked that out and you're listening to this, definitely check out that interview, or not. It wasn't an interview, but the discussion that Josh Wiggler had after this episode, or after this tribal council, and talking about what he saw while he was there. You can find that at robhaswebsite.com/parade. And in that article, he talks about Jeff Varner and what he witnessed there. And at that tribal council, he got up towards the end when Jeff and Evita said this in his exit interview as well. With Rob,
and I think
so
they mentioned
if you want to
that on Know It Alls too.
Yeah, so Jeff Varner just gets up at the final, and I don't know, I guess like after, right before Jeff Probst says, okay, like it's time to vote, are you guys any like last questions? And Varner says, PG and Kelly Wentworth, are you guys voting the way we said we would today? And they were like, yep. And he said, okay. And then Terry's like, what? Wait, what? And everybody's in. You know, they're having a panic attack. They don't know what's really happening. Yeah. Yeah. I wish. And I don't understand why we didn't see this.
I know. I think they wanted.
Yeah. Why would they not show that?
Because I think they wanted to hold on a little bit of suspense to like, who would Jeff be voting for? And so if they would have shown that, it would have been like, okay, so whoever Kelly's voting for, or and these people are voting for, that's who's going to go home. I mean, that's just kind of what I assume. And they showed us Kelly's vote. So if we'd have seen that she was voting for Vitas, then we would have been like, oh, Jeff's going to vote for Vitas.
Right. And you could see earlier in the episode, Kelly was talking about how, oh, okay, well, I'm tired of Vitas. I just want him gone and all this stuff. So I think that if we would have seen that moment from Jeff, I agree, it probably would have given that away. I just wish that we could have seen something like that. It would have been, yeah, it would have been a great moment. Yeah, right. And I mean, there's that point where Jeff Varner say, they did show the part where Varner says, well, this is my second chance and I'm not screwing it up. And that came right after that moment. So I would have liked to seen that. Also, Josh Wigler said in the article that Spencer Bledsoe, when he went to vote, said, well, tonight I learned that Jeff Varner is a crazy person. That's what he said, apparently. So that would have been funny to see, too. So I don't understand why. And especially if Spencer was doing the voice that he does when he's upset with Cass, I think that would have been hilarious.
That's exactly how I was imagining it, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, no, zero chance of winning the game now, Cass. Like, yeah. So funny.
And Jeff said in a confessional, like, this is his second chance. He's playing balls to the wall, and I think he's showing that. And I don't think he's ever going to play reserve. He's going to go for it. And they made an interesting point in Know It Alls that Jeff was presented with another 5-5 tie, and he wasn't doing it. And he knew if he didn't flip, no one else would. So he was taking the game into his hands. And I think it's very early to think about it, but he could have a case of the jury with that. He said from the very first tribal, I had a say in what happened. And that's an argument you could use closer to the end if you get there.
Yeah, in the words of the great Brandon Hance, he was the author of his own fate. So, I mean, so yes, and that's exactly what Jeff did. And I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up. And maybe, yeah, we'll look back a couple months from now and we'll see Jeff in that final tribal council situation. And that is something that he's arguing. So I'm very excited to see that. I'm going to take some of your questions and we can talk about this a little bit here. And this is an interesting question. It comes from Captain Awesome. And he says, in the premiere, Tasha said, as long as it's not me, I'm cool. This is similar to Sandra's anyone but me strategy. Do you think Tasha could end up playing a Sandra-esque game? What do you think about that? Just based on the first episode?
I can definitely see that. I didn't think of it before, but I see that Tasha could have a very Sandra personality. Like if someone comes at her, she's not going to just, sit there and take it. But I think Tasha is much more likely to have a more active hand in her own fate. We saw that a lot in Cagayan. She would actively try to strategize and it didn't often work out for her. But I don't think she has that. I, you know, I think she's going to go for it. I don't think she's going to hold back like Sandra did. Not that Sandra held back. I think Sandra more let the game come to her, and I think Tasha's going to go out and find the game.
That's a really good way to put it. I agree with you there. I think Tasha's a little more aggressive than Sandra, and I don't know. I mean, I'm going to probably get people in the comments. Anytime we mention Sandra, there's people in the comments on robhiswebsite.com going crazy.
I love her.
So yeah, Sandra's, yeah, me too. But I mean, they're different, and I don't think that.
Yeah,
they're not the same. But I do see that that's a really good point by Captain Awesome, though. I think that Tasha bringing that up, I think what that says is that this time around, Tasha is going to be a lot more cutthroat, I think. And she's not going to worry about, I think she's a
Spencer's that are cast in the world.
Yeah, she's not. She's going to be looking out for Tasha. She's looking out for the top dog. And you know what? That's great. And I think that that is something that's really going to help Tasha out a lot. And okay, this question comes from Nina Spong, and she at Tenor84 on Twitter, and she says, who are you most surprised by so far? All love from Nina in Sweden. Love you very much, Nina. Thank you for the question. So for me, who I was surprised by the most, that's a really good question. I think one person that really surprised me was Cass. And the reason why Cass surprised me was because I expected Cass to come off a lot worse on the episode than she did. I will admit, I'm not the biggest Cass fan there is, and I think she did a really good job. The fact that she's not a huge target right off the bat, I think that Cass was very impressive in that first episode, and I'm excited to see where she goes, and I'm intrigued by Cass. So what do you think about who surprised you the most, or has surprised you the most so far this season?
Maybe Keith.
Interesting. Why does Keith surprise you?
I think he's got a better grasp on what's going on now. And we didn't see a whole lot of him this episode, and he kind of looked like a dope during the challenge, which is surprising because he was so good at the challenges, right?
I just
think he understands the social game a little bit better, and like he knows that's what he's good at. And so he's going to kind of take part in that. Your point about Cass a bit surprising you, I agree with that. I think she had a good episode. I don't have faith in Cass to hold it together, though.
Yeah, I'm not ready to believe.
She's not totally starring yet.
No, she's not, right? And I'm not ready to jump all aboard the Cass train quite yet. But the fact that she wasn't the first out, I think that's a win for Cass. And from what I was reading into things, and I wasn't around when the pregame was going on, but just from what everything I read, Cass was pregaming this thing pretty hard, just based on who I talked to. So I think the fact that she didn't fall flat out on her face in that first episode. I think that
I also don't think if Diane went to tribal, I don't think she would have been voted out.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think that Steven was in a lot more hot water than Cass. And in the secret scenes on YouTube, you can definitely check that out. There is this Cass and Joe alliance that has kind of started already. And
ooh,
it looks like, yeah, so like they're working together. Yeah, I think honestly, you could put Joe with a peanut butter sandwich, and that would be a great alliance. I mean, he's amazing. So, but yeah, I think with Cass and Joe, I think that will be interesting to see. And I think if that's who Cass kind of clings on to, I think that's actually really good for her game because Joe
it's like
is
the
so,
Daniel Reyes strategy.
It is, yeah, right. It's like going with the Captain America, and I think that, that Joe Anglim is more Captain America than Jason Guy, but they definitely are in that mold of being the very likable guys and who nobody's really, well, for now at least, that nobody really wants to go against. And that's actually something too. I think Joe was impressive on my end. I was very impressed by Joe too, because I felt like more people would say, hey, we got to get rid of Joe, we should be scared of Joe, when in actuality we saw Savage and Jeremy and Joe kind of work together, and we kind of have this bro thing going on. What do you think about the Joe Bros alliance, Haley? Do you think that this is something that's going to be a long lasting thing, or do you think that
I think Andrew Savage is one of those guys who's like loyalty above all else. So once he's like, you're my boy, like you guys are tight. That's it.
Yeah, right. And I think that's kind of what we saw in Pearl Islands, right? From what I recall, and I haven't seen Pearl Islands. I rewatched it about a year ago. But when that's really what it was. It was kind of just the Morgan tribe. We're going to go to the end, ride or die. And there's no flip flop.
Ride or die, die.
Yeah, right. So get with Rhino and OT and those guys and just roll with it and see what happens. So I'm excited to see what happens with Andrew Savage and that crew and how that alliance does. And I think that it's going to be a very, very interesting because I was concerned. I was very at first for Joe and for Savage a little bit too, because I wasn't sure if he had a ton of, and it's still not sure if Savage has a ton of strategic acumen for this game. But I think that, and the fact that he's got himself with Joe and with Jeremy, and Jeremy being a guy who has a lot of, I think he's got a good mind for this game. He's very intelligent. I think that he's not somebody that people don't really think of him as strategic, but I think that he's a lot more he's more strategic than people give him credit for. One thing I really want to bring up, and somebody that I really wanted to talk about, is Stephen Fishback. And I had very high hopes for Stephen Fishback. A lot of the people I was talking to had high hopes for Stephen Fishback. We did a draft last Saturday with some of my friends from Big Brother Canada talking about Big Brother. And the first overall pick from Sarah Hanlon was, in fact, Stephen Fishback. And after that episode, she texted me this week and said that she regretted the pick greatly. So what do you think, Ailey? Do you think Sarah should be regretting that pick right now just based on what we saw from Stephen?
I am trying to remain really hopeful. I'm hoping he's just kind of getting a dodo edit and it'll come back and he'll soar into like an eagle.
Yeah, so soaring like an eagle. Yeah, that's kind of how I would want. I'm kind of hoping the exact same thing for Steven. I think that you never know. It's the first episode. That kind of stuff happens. However, if we're looking into this winner edit sort of thing, you don't really see that from the winner on the first episode. They don't make them look like that necessarily. So I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned about how Steven's going to fare, especially after the first episode. Haley, what do you think about Steven's chance, or what do you think about what Steven did on that episode? Do you think there's anything differently he could have done? Because he got a really bad draw, I think, with his tribes, right? Is he kind of just in a spot where it's like, well, there's nothing else he could have done, so that's why he came across so poorly?
Just because Savage was the one who was most like, I need Fishback out. And Savage just kind of has this like leader thing, and people just flock to him. What Steven could have done, and you know, we didn't see it, but so we can only go based on what we saw. We didn't see him having a whole lot of conversations with his tribe, and he probably did, and we just didn't see it. But like, that's a big thing. Never don't go searching for the idol on the day one or two when you've got relationships to build. When you feel like you're not really fitting in, don't separate yourself more. Try harder to kind of shoehorn yourself in there, and try not to do it in a way that annoys people. So if Savage isn't really feeling him, well, then go talk to Cass, go talk to Monica, go talk to the Kimmy,
girls,
go talk
yeah.
to Matter. There's so many options. And try with 10 people. And so, yes, maybe Savage and Joe and Jeremy and Keith maybe are kind of together, but that's four out of 10. You still got five people to work with, and I think you could pull Keith over pretty easily.
Four out of 10 equals in, right? Right, Haley?
Oh, my math is terrible.
I totally agree with you. There's other people in this tribe, and if I'm Steven, I say, hey, I think it's, for me, it's never a good idea to kind of go be like a bull in a china shop and go super hard off right off the bat in terms of playing the game too aggressively. But when you're in Steven's spot where you can kind of see you're already on the outs with these alpha male guys, I don't think it could hurt to kind of go to these girls, go to your Monicas, your Sierras, your Keith Nails.
A Monica would be a perfect alliance mate for him.
Yeah.
He needs somebody who he can kind of guide again. And Monica can be that person.
Yeah, Monica could be similar to his relationship with Aaron Lobdell on Token Chains. Yeah. And I think that would be a really interesting thing to see if something like that were to brew. But yeah, I think that would really help him. And Steven can make a very easy pitch. I think when you're talking, when you're trying to convince people of doing something on one of these games, whether it's Big Brother or Survivor, you want to appeal to their self-interest. And I think if you go to Monica and those guys and say, hey, look, like, there's these three huge alpha male guys, yeah, that they're going
to be so into fighting that. They'd be so into it. All of those girls, every single one of them. There's not a weak female on this season, like a weak or a weak personality. I really don't believe that. And if you appeal, if you say, hey, look, these three guys are sticking together and they're going to pick up one us off one by one by one, and you just watch and see. But I have a way we can stick together and we can take them out, and then we'll deal with it.
There we go. Haley, Survivor Canada, you're good to go. That's hopefully that'll happen, right? Wouldn't that be great?
Oh my gosh. I would get so hangry that people would vote me off immediately.
Oh man, can't get hangry. That's the thing I don't get. Yeah, being on Survivor, that would be so hard. I think if you do get hangry.
If I was on Big Brother, I'd gain like 40 pounds.
Yeah, that's Big Brother. That's like, that's what you do. You just sit around and eat all day. I think really, I've never met, I mean, Godfrey Manguiza, I think he lost weight on Big Brother Canada 3, but I don't think any other person has really ever actually lost weight on one of these Big Brother seasons. Usually it's the other way around. Now, this question here comes from, this is an interesting question. This comes from Alberto Cadada, and he says, why was Steven so upset with Rob's assessment on his overall performance? And this is a really, this is something that's interesting. And if you were not paying attention to social media over the weekend, or not even over the weekend, today is Saturday. So after the episode, and I believe this was after Rob finished recording his recap with Jenna Lewis, one thing that came up was the Steven's feelings on Twitter. He went to Twitter and he tweeted at Rob, and he tweeted him, and he was very upset with the analysis that Rob and Josh gave him on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. He was not happy with how his boy Rob how he talked about his game. So yeah. Haley, what do you think about this? Steven, if we can find the exact tweets here. There's quite a few of them here. And basically, just what it came down to was he said that he thought that Rob and Josh gave Vetus the benefit of the doubt, but they did not give Steven the benefit of the doubt. So what do you think about that, Haley? Do you think that this Rob and Josh were too hard on Steven? Or do you think that they were kind of like, no, that's just an accurate assessment, and Steven's just kind of being, he just doesn't realize how poor he came across in the episode?
I think Rob and Josh were maybe digging in a little harder than they should have. I think it's part of Steven being their friend, so they're just kind of like teasing. But I think Steven's being a little hypocritical, right? Hasn't he done this for 3 years?
Yeah, Has he said this to
tons of people? Like, I don't. He should have known kind of what to expect, and maybe he thought because they were friends that they would take it a little easier, but like, come on, you're on Survivor, you're putting yourself out there, and you did this, and you know that we're only seeing the edited show, we're not seeing anything else. And he says it all the time. He says blogs, tweets, exit interviews aren't canon, so why shouldn't we take it at anything except face value based on his theory, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's unfortunate that he feels that way, and it sucks. It's a hard situation, because I'm sure Steven was really pumped and he wanted to do really well, and everybody wants to do really well, and when he comes across like that on the first episode, he was probably not very happy, for one, because of that, and two, I think, yeah, he thought, okay, well, everybody's probably gonna make fun of me, but at least my boys Rob and Josh are gonna have my back. And then when they don't have his back, I think that hurts him a little bit. But at the same time, Rob and Josh are in a tough spot, because if Rob and Josh say, oh, well,
on him, people would be more mad about that.
Yes, people would be much more upset about at Rob and Josh if they were like, oh, well, yeah, I guess, well, that's right, Survivor Know-It-Alls, Steven Fishback, what a night for him. Oh, yes. He's getting the winner's edit. And I think we're going to give him the fishy today. He did such a great job. Yeah, him going into that bog and getting wet looking for that immunity idol. That was such a great decision. Oh, my goodness. So, they couldn't have done that because then everybody would have been like, you guys are biased. Yeah, you can't be credible if you're in that spot, if you're going to be easy on your friends and harder on other people. It's tough. And so I kind of understand it, because I'm sure one day I'm going to run into this when hopefully I'll be podcasting about Big Brother Canada All-Stars and my friends are on the show and I have to talk about them. And
yeah,
it's going to be tough. And I don't know how I'm going to react to it. But
isn't it tough? Like, I mean, Rob has said that a million times about podcasting about All-Star seasons. It's a little harder because he knows them. And that's one of the reasons why Corinne doesn't do it. Precast assessments on these people because she knows them and she doesn't want to deal with it. Well, Rob, this is Rob's job and he has to do it. And Steven should understand that and suck it up. I'm sorry. Pull up your big boy panties and let's get to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I'm not sure how Steve. It's a tough situation. It's a tough situation. But yeah, I think that Steven took it a little bit to heart. And I think.
And why wouldn't he text him? That's my thing. Why tweet?
Yeah, that is for me. And yeah, as somebody who's been on a season of a reality show where people get into beefs like that on Twitter, it's never a good idea. Just get into stuff. If you want to hash something out, if you're upset with somebody, do it over the phone, pick up the phone, text this person, call them, because you have their contact information. Why not go out there, reach out to the person and, you know, just be like, hey, you know, I just want to let you know, I'm kind of upset about everything and here's why. And that's great, because airing your dirty laundry out on social media, it's just never a good
idea. Not a good look.
It's never a good look. Now, this is another interesting question. This comes from Spicy Wasabi X. And they want to know, is the Sesternino Fishback Know-It-Alls era dead after Steven's meltdown yesterday? Haley, what do you think about this?
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think it's dead. No. It's not dead. It's one episode.
They're adults. They'll work through it. It's whatever.
Yeah, right? It's one episode. I don't think it would be dead. I mean, I love Josh Wiggler, and I would love to see him get incorporated as a regular somehow with Rob, but I would hate to see that just because of one episode. And it's tough. And I feel bad for Rob, because guess what? Next week, if something else happens to Steven, Haley, that's going to be in Rob's head now. Is it not?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. So, and it's almost not fair for Steven to do that.
Yeah. It's not fair, but at the same time, I understand why he's doing it. He's a human being. He's emotional. Definitely. He's going to, and I'm sure, I mean, who am I to say anything about that? Cause if I was on a season of Big Brother and my best friend was saying that I sucked, well, I think I have enough self-awareness to realize, yeah, you know what? I do suck, but everyone's different. Right. And yeah. So I hope it's not dead. I don't think it's dead. And Rob's the kind of guy that is Rob's very easygoing. And I'm sure I think Rob's fine. And I think Steven's fine too. And it looks like at the end of it, if you catch up on the tweets, and you can check out Steven's timeline on Twitter, he's at Steven Fishback. Towards the end, he seemed to be pretty, he calmed down about it and he was fine. So I think it's going to be okay. Now this brings up another interesting question with Steven, Haley, and that comes from Leighton Jansen. And Leighton Jansen says, is there a chance that Fishback could find the idol next episode? He was already searching for it. Now, that's a good point. We already saw Steven searching for the idol. Do you think that this is kind of a hint that, hey, we're going to see a Fishback idol find pretty soon here?
That's interesting. It's either Fishback finds an idol or his tribe is really pissed off that he went searching for it. And that's going to be his demise.
Yeah, that would be really interesting if we were to see. Yeah. And you know, that's, I can see both scenarios playing out. I think, now, and again, I play into a lot of things. I play into things a lot, and I shouldn't. And I think that just Steven's reaction to Rob and how he handled that first episode. If Steven were, I think he would take it a lot more personal. Although it's different, right? Everyone's different. I was going to say he would probably take it a lot more personal if he didn't do so well in this game. But if we go back to Survivor Cagayan, Tony Vlachos, who famously, he won the season, and famously he tweeted Steven and told him that he was full of S and he had no idea what the hell was going on and he was an idiot and all this kind of stuff. So maybe this is just Steven being emotional. I don't know really what it is, but I'm interested to see how this thing is going to play out, because it could go in a multitude of different directions, and it's going to be very, It's gonna be hard for Steven. He's in tough. He's got a very tough field, and I don't know if he. I don't. And let alone Steven. I don't know if anybody could really overcome, or the greatest Survivor people could overcome this spot that he's been put in right now. I'm sure there's things they could do to improve their chances, but when you start off from behind like this, it's really hard to overcome it. It's something that we've seen on Big Brother before, where you start from the bottom and then you rise to the top towards the end. But Survivor, it's something we don't see as much, where people start way behind the pack and then all of a sudden kind of rise from the ashes and sort of win like that. Haley, have you seen any instances of, can you think of anybody off the top of their head who had like a really rough start like Steven did, and then towards the end of the game they turn it around and then they won the thing?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. Oh my god, my memory is not great, and there's just like a lot of information that like of that. Who started off kind of in a bad spot and made it?
There's no one I can really think of, right?
I mean, can we say Russell? Because like his tribe started off really bad, and then he kind of.
Yeah, but I mean, he was never on the outs, right? I mean,
Denise, maybe?
I guess maybe Denise. Yeah, and she, again, not on the outs, but she started in a really rough spot. And I think it's these three tribe seasons. I think that's kind of where you see it. And I think maybe like Kagyan, for example. I guess, well, the Brains didn't. None of them won, but I mean. Pasha or Spencer had a really rough go at the start of that season. So that's actually, and if he were to have won Kagyan, I think that would have been a good example of something like that happening. Let's see here. Let's take another question here, Haley. This one comes from Tony's Llama. And Tony's Llama says, what do you think of Jeremy's chances so far? I think he had an amazing episode, but he also did great in San Juan del Sur episode one. That's a really good point.
I like Jeremy in this episode, but I like Jeremy in general. I don't know if he'll ever have better than like middle of the pack equity. I don't know. There's just something about him that doesn't ever scream winner to me. I think part of it is he does look like a threat, and I understand that there's other threats around him like Joe and like Savage, but I think Savage is a little too old to be considered, you know, the bigger threat, especially like you said earlier, that Jeremy is a little more strategically sound than any of those guys. So yes. Why wouldn't they come after Jeremy first?
Yeah, why not, right?
I like Jeremy. I just don't. I think he can make it to the merge, and I think he's cut soon after, just like in his original season.
Yeah, that, I can definitely see that playing out too. And that would be unfortunate because I love Jeremy Collins. He's awesome. And it would... I want to see the surround and drown work. I kind of
know. I feel like he has a good group to be able to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not.
If he can pull that off. Yeah, I think that would be great. And I think, yeah, I would love to see him win the $1 million. And then at the end of the season, be like, why are you so happy? Why are all these people so, or, and then he can just be like, I am so happy. Something like that. That would be pretty cool if Jeremy were to win this thing. Let's see. Let's wind things down pretty quickly. We're going to have a shorter episode of the Reality TV Happy Hour today because Haley has to go to work. So,
sorry, guys.
No,
technical difficulties, and I have to work. Like, you can only go up from here for the Survivor season.
That's okay. Hey, Haley, you're doing a great job considering the circumstances. I'm actually very impressed. So don't worry at all about that. You're doing fine. And and for people listening to this, it's my show. I'm the worst. So would you not expect would you not expect technical difficulties and people, the guests leaving to go early to work? No, like that's what you get on the Reality TV Happy Hour.
So. I am so sorry.
It's all good. It's all good.
I'm a hot mess over here.
No, it's totally cool. It happens. It's all good. And yeah, I mean, I was late getting here. You got to leave early. It happens, but you know what? We're just going to roll with it. We're having fun. We're just having a conversation. So, and this is something extra for everybody listening on robiswebsite.com. So if they don't like it, then hey, they don't like it. That's fine.
They're making a bad life choice.
They're making a bad life choice, but you know what? They can be like, hey, my life's fine right now. I don't need the Reality TV Happy Hour. I don't need to listen to this podcast. So
there's already 19 hours of podcasts I need to catch up with.
Exactly. Let's see. Okay, here's so Spicy Wasabi X brings up this point. Cochran with the sunburned tomato edit, Mike with the firewood Nazi edit, the bumbling Fabio edit. I think there is still hope for Fishback. That is a good point. I mean, yeah, those guys did kind of have that. Mike was eating the scorpion last season on Worlds Apart. So there's a chance. I mean,
everybody has a shot in this. Everybody has a shot.
Everybody. Yeah. Then what, let's get into that too, Haley. What did you think about, who did Jeff say did not have a chance? He said PG had no chance.
He said Cass 100% no. He said probably not Kimmy, probably not PG, probably not Monica.
Okay, that, like, okay, I can see the Kimmy and Cass points of view, but even then,
PG, are you kidding me? They could totally work it.
Yeah, I think PG.
Did you see Jeff Varner's tweet about how PG snuck fishing wire and flint and all this other stuff into the game as jewelry, and then she just kind of said it out loud, and then they took everything away from her? It's like, how hilarious funny. Is that? That's so good.
Funny. So funny. Shades of Richard Hatch in Survivor All-Stars putting matches up his butt. But yeah, that's amazing. That's so funny. We were talking about that. Rob and I were talking about that with Taryn Armstrong this morning over on the This Week in Reality TV podcast over on robhaswebsite.com. So check that out if you haven't already. And we definitely touched upon that. But yeah, it's so funny that PG did that. But that goes to show.
So good.
PG's a gamer, Haley. PG's playing this game. Yeah,
everyone's playing this game. And the first episode of this show was so, so good. And I've been really excited for this season since they announced the second chances. And I think a lot of people have. And I think the first episode really lived up to expectations. And I truly believe that this season will too. I just don't see where the season can go wrong. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that when you do get, and I mean, just looking at it historically, right? The times in which we've had strict all-star seasons, they've been pretty good. I mean, not everybody loves Survivor All-Stars, but as a young Canadian lad, I loved for Survivor All-Stars as a kid.
Yeah.
I still like it on a rewatch because I love Boston Rob, but I think Heroes versus Villains was great. I think this season's going to be great too, because like you said, everybody's playing the game and everybody has a chance to win, because as somebody who's played one of these games before, it's crazy. The growth is exponential after you watch your own season and see how it plays out, and then you go back and play it. I think it's a completely different ball game, and the second versions of all these people is definitely better than the first versions. I mean, you can say the same thing even with Vetus. I mean, Vetus was even better going into the season. The problem was he just was so big of a threat that
he was such a fox that they needed to get him out.
Needed to get him out. Now, what do you think about do you think Vetus would fare well if he went on The Bachelorette? Haley, do you think that would work?
Oh my God, yes, absolutely. I'd worry to kind of go into Juan Pablo territory, but I think it would be a good season if Vetus was on it, if he was the lead.
That would be amazing. Vetus as the Bachelor. It kind of would be. It would be like Juan Pablo territory, but except it wouldn't be. Because at first, Juan Pablo, everyone was like, oh, Juan Pablo, he's so you know, nice and all kind. And, oh, he's Venezuelan and he's got this accent and it's great.
He's so hot. He was a kid. But then it's just like, oh, right. He just wasn't on TV at all. And so he didn't know that he was a douche.
Exactly, straight up, that's exactly what it was. Oh man. Okay, let's wind things down here so that way you're not late to work, Haley. We wouldn't want that happening.
No,
so
we don't want me getting in trouble.
No, we do not want Haley getting in trouble. That would not be good. So let's take one more question here, and thank you everybody who left us a question on the YouTube video and who tweeted us. That is awesome. I really do appreciate it. All right, this question, actually, you know what, we already got one from Captain Awesome, so sorry Captain Awesome, we're not going to take that one. We might have to take that one, though. Hold on. Let's see. There might not be anything else. And you know what? Oh, here we go. It's another one from Captain Awesome, but I like this one better. Who do you think will change their style of gameplay the most from their last season? That's a really good one. I like that one, Haley. Who do you think is going to change the most from their 1.0 version to now their 2.0 self?
I think Kelly Wentworth has a good chance to do it, just because she didn't really have a chance. She didn't have a chance to play the first time, really, and what chance she had, she didn't really like go for it. She's just kind of comfortable, so she didn't really have to. And then by the time she was swapped to the other tribe, it was kind of like, oh shoot, it's too late for me, there's just nothing she could do. So the fact that she's going out and she's like, okay, I can, like, I'm gonna start doing stuff right away, I think that's interesting. I think Jeff Varner is gonna play a pretty similar game to what he did. I can't see Terry or Andrew changing up too much. I'm afraid Steven will fall more bumbly and will kind of revert more back that way rather than kind of blooming into a beautiful Survivor strategist of a flower. Monica could be interesting, but I think if she plays a similar game to what she played before, just kind of go for it, that should be interesting. I'd love to see what Sierra could do with, actively playing a full season. she's someone in preseason a lot of people were like, oh yeah, everyone's gonna go for her because she voted out her mom. But like, based on this first episode, I don't know if people are going for it.
Yeah, Sierra's in a good spot right now. From what we saw from that episode. So
I loved her opening, like her intro. Like I thought she came off really well there. So.
Yeah, and a point that Rob has brought up before is that Sierra's first game that she played was great, but it not only was it great, it was against people that had played before. So mm-hmm. she was doing on her first time better than what people were doing on their second time. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that is something that we need to take note of with Sierra. And the Steven thing, I agree. I think it's interesting, this dynamic where JT on Heroes versus Villains, Steven and JT, they're together on Token Sheens. They go to the final two together. JT wins. JT 2.0 is on Heroes versus Villains. Doesn't do so hot without Steven. And now Steven on his own without JT, it's not looking so great. So I'm intrigued to see
Steven how, go with Monica.
Yeah, that would be a good move, I think. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But I think maybe we're going to leave this season saying, wow, like JT and Steven as a collective unit is phenomenal, but by themselves, just not as great, which is unfortunate because I love both of them individually. Steven, of course, I love more because of being a Survivor know-it-all, but it'll be fun to watch that.
It's going to be interesting to see how all of this shakes out. I feel like every week it's just going to be so compelling.
Yes, and that's the thing with these all-star seasons too, is with these pre-existing relationships, we can see things change on a dime. People are going to change their minds quickly about certain things just based on, again, these preconceived notions that people have about others. And it's not necessarily going to revolve around everything that's going on in the game. It's going to be, there's so much more going on, pre-game alliances, their past seasons that they played on, all that kind of stuff. And it should be very fun to watch. Okay, final question before we get out of here, Haley. Who is your winner pick for Survivor 31, Survivor Cambodia?
My girl, Kelly Wentworth.
Kelly Wentworth. Okay, lock it in. Kelly Wentworth. Yeah, that's who Haley's going with.
Yeah,
I think she's coming across the best right now.
San Juan del Sur, and she's at it again.
She's at it again. Kelly Wentworth. Kelly Wentworth's great. I think she's got a really good shot. And I think I still like Monica Padilla, but
I love the Monica pick.
Yeah, I think that Kelly had a really good episode. She's got that idol in her pocket. She's in a good spot. She's not the face of her alliance or anything right now. So I would not be shocked at all if we fast forward, you know, if we look ahead or look back at the end of the season in December and we're saying, wow, what a game by Kelly Wentworth. She's the winner. What a pick by Haley Strong. What a pick by Haley Strong. What a pick by Kevin Martin, taking her in our fantasy draft that we did. So, Haley, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I really do appreciate
it. Final two, okay?
Well, oh, yeah. Final two in Survivor Canada.
I will put you up on the block, okay?
Or you'll use the veto on me when I volunteer.
I will use the veto on you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Haley, before we get out of here, anything you want to plug?
Just follow me on Twitter. I'm @hstrong_. I recently opened a Periscope. I haven't Periscoped anything yet, but I'm there. It's @hstrong_2. You can add me on Instagram, same, @hstrong_. Snapchat is hstrong28. No dick pics, please, but anything else is fine.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Yeah, we don't want those. Okay, awesome, Haley. And also too, have you ever seen the show 90 Day Fiance on TLC? Have you
watched it? Oh my god, I haven't, because it, like, the thought alone depresses me.
Okay, because I was gonna say that you and I should do a podcast, like, maybe just a one-off or something for that when it comes back. So
we'll
talk about that. So yeah, stay tuned for a 90 Day Fiance podcast that hopefully Haley, Amy, and I we can all do that thing if Amy's down, and that would be kind of a fun little maybe a one-off. We could do a weekly thing. We'll see how it goes.
Oh my God, but I'd be so in.
Yeah, 90 Day Fiance is a great show, and it's coming back, I think, in October. So hopefully, which is pretty quick. Yeah, so hopefully we can get that thing going. Okay, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Reality TV Happy Hour. Really appreciate it. If you want to support the Reality TV Happy Hour, a few ways you can do that. You can go to youtube.com. You can subscribe to Reality TV Hap Ups, and that way you will not miss any of our live shows. I'm not 100. I don't think next week will be a live show, and I have to talk to Rob a bit. We might not be doing the live shows as much during the off season, but we will get into that. I'll figure that out. So hopefully we'll keep those going on Saturdays. But with this podcast that I did with Rob today, I might be doing those. So I might be every other week, whatever. So stay tuned on Twitter to keep up with everything that I'm doing. I'm at Jordan Parhar, and I'll let you know what the situation is with those live shows, with the podcast. It is going to continue to be a weekly podcast. So stay tuned next week. We'll have another edition of the show. We'll probably be talking some Big Brother. I would like to get Alex Kidwell, Taryn Armstrong, and Brent Wolgamott on and to talk about some things. I'm not sure what the topic will be yet, but I would like to do that. If not, we'll have them on in a couple weeks and we'll figure something out. But definitely stay tuned to that. Also, do not forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. It's robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. And I did this promotion at the end of the season, and it involved basically what I said, at the beginning of the Big Brother season. And I said, hey, if you want to leave us a review and a rating for this show, that would be awesome because it's going to help the show grow. And for everybody who does that, I will give you, or everyone who does it, I'm going to put your name in a hat, and one person is going to win a Skype call with me for 30 minutes. We can talk about anything you want. And I did that draw at the end of the Big Brother episode that just happened. The winner, I believe, was DabbyPa404, but he actually left a pretty negative review, so I don't think he really likes me too much. So what we're going to do is, guess what? We're going to do another draw. Why not, right? Why not, bro? So we're going to do another one. And this time, we're going to do two. So two people that leave a rating and review on iTunes between now and September 26th. Today is September 26th. So from September 26th until, let's say, the end of the end of the Survivor season, that'll be about mid-December, one of you guys will win a Skype call with me, or two of you guys, sorry. So leave those ratings and reviews for me. I really do appreciate it, whether it's positive or negative, because guess what, a negative guy won last time, but doesn't look like he's going to take that my offer up on the Skype call. So if he doesn't reach out to me, there's two calls that are up for grabs. I think those will be hopefully really fun. We can talk about anything. We can talk about podcasting, we talk about reality TV, we can talk about casting to get on a reality TV show, because I've had a lot of experience with casting and I think I could probably help some people with that. So if you are interested in that, then definitely leave us a rating and a review. I really do appreciate that. And I love it so much. I was wrapping up the show. Haley had to go to work, so I'll be signing off for Haley. Hashtag for this episode, well, it's all the power goes to me today. So I am going to say the hashtag for this episode should be hashtag technical difficulties, because I think that's hilarious. We had a lot of technical issues today, but we managed to get through it. I'm happy, and now I know that I'm okay podcasting and talking to myself for however long it needs to be, if necessary, because I had to do it for a little bit of this podcast. And I apologize to you guys listening to this thing for just listening to me talking for a lot of this, normally that's what I do, and people complain about that sometimes because I like to hear the sound of my own voice, and I'm very sorry for that, and it's just a bad habit of mine, but I had to do that today. So I actually had an excuse to be talking way too much. So I apologize for that, and hopefully next week it'll be via Skype or something like that. It might not be a live show. So that way, if there are these issues, we can edit it out and we can deal with that later. And that way it's not just a show of me talking about a bunch of different stuff. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. And thank you so much, too, for leave your comments at robiswebsite.com. I got a lot of really positive comments last week about the Survivor draft that we did, and I was really blown away. There were some really, really kind comments, and I really do appreciate that. That really means a lot. So thank you so much. And you guys are amazing for listening to this podcast, for one, and just for the support and love that you give me. I don't deserve it, and yet you still give it to me. And I really, really appreciate it. It means a lot. So thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. We'll be back next week talking some Big Brother. Don't know who's the guest is going to be, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so for Haley Strong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag technical difficulties. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.